We're back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. As the manufacturing sector has evolved and job numbers have fallen, the rise of automation has been a key part of the equation. But technology is impacting more than just assembly line jobs in the 21st century.
If your job was suddenly replaced or changed by a robot, would you be ready? That's the question that journalist Andres Oppenheimer asks in a new book. It's called The Robots Are Coming: The Future of Jobs in the Age of Automation.
Oppenheimer's a columnist for the Miami Herald and a host on CNN Español. He told WUWM innovation reporter Chuck Quernbach that robots have been making their way into the workforce for a long time. But Oppenheimer says he wanted to write the book because the pace of change is increasing.
The reason is that while we've had robots in factories for 5-6 decades, there's something very new. And the new thing is that robots are becoming increasingly cheaper and increasingly smarter. And that's changing everything. Why? Why are they becoming cheaper? Well, because China is buying robots as if there were no tomorrow. They've become the world's biggest buyer of industrial robots. And they're becoming smarter because until 10 years ago, a robot was an individual machine. No, you had a robot, you put a chip in its head, and it would perform some mechanic duty 10,000 times a day in a factory. But today, robots are linked to the cloud.
And of course, the cloud you speak of is a computing cloud, if you will, and in some ways another robot.
Yes, they're connected to the computing cloud, you know, and through that, they're connected to every other robot in their network. And that makes them incredibly smarter than just an individual robot that has been, you know, coded, instructed to perform a specific task. So that changes everything. We are living in a new world, and robots are going to be part of our life, much more so than until now, and they're going to threaten many of our jobs.
And you've reached out to quite a few people, traveled a few places to reach these conclusions, is that right? Talk a little bit about with whom you spoke.
Well, I started doing my research like 6 years ago when I read a study by Oxford University saying that 47% of our jobs were at risk of disappearing over the next 15 years. And I said, wow, that sounds a little bit exaggerated. 47, almost half of our jobs will disappear within the next 10, 15 years. Sounds like a lot. But then I started looking at my own life, at my own profession, as a journalist with the Miami Herald, with CNN Español. And I said, wow, it's already happening all around me. Until 5 years ago, I taped my show with 5 camera people. How many do I have today? 0. All my cameras today are robotic. I get instructions from some floor director who I don't know where he or she is, and they tell me to look at camera 1 or camera 2 or camera 3. At the newspaper, I used to have a translator. I used to, you know, I wrote my columns. I have a syndicated column, so I write my column for the Miami Herald in English. I used to send it to a translator. She would translate it and send it to me back by email. I would edit it. And the whole process of editing her translation would take me, 20 minutes. But a year ago, the automatic translations by Google Translate and other algorithms became so much better that the newspaper is using, you know, Google Translate and other algorithms to translate instead of human translators. So that same thing is happening with lawyers, with bankers, with physicians, with all kinds of professions and occupations. So what I did after I realized that this was a serious thing that was happening all around us is interview the top gurus in the biggest professions and occupations and ask them what is going to happen over the next 5-10 years.
And let me take one of those, if I may, the doctors. What's going to change for the medical profession? Don't we always need someone looking in our mouth and prodding and poking us and so on?
Well, doctors are going to be hit as much as journalists and as much as bankers and as much as many other professionals. Because let me give you an example. A dermatologist. What does a dermatologist do nowadays? He takes your arm, he looks at your sunspots, and he says, okay, this one is good, this one is bad, this one is good, this one is bad. If it's bad, he takes a biopsy or he orders one and you have to treat it. If it's good, he says, you know, you're fine, go home. But now you have a telephone application whereby you can use your cell phone to take a picture of your sunspot, and the app will tell you immediately whether it's good or bad. If it's good, you go on with your day. If it's bad, you go to the doctor and treat it. So 50% or so of the work that a dermatologist does nowadays is going to disappear overnight because we're all going to do that with our cell phones. The same thing goes for radiologists. If you're a radiologist and you look at x-rays, a smart machine, a smart computer can detect much more than a human doctor today. Now, that doesn't mean that doctors are going to lose their jobs, that we're going to have much fewer doctors than we have today. No, we're still going to have doctors. The doctor will continue doing a lot of things that only humans can do, things related to empathy, communication. They're going to translate to us what the smart machines say. They're going to hold our arm and tell us, don't freak out. You know, this is not so terrible. What the computer is telling us is this and that, but we can do such and such. So there's going to be a doctor around, but he or she will not do what they're doing today. They're going to do something very different.
I'm wondering if there's any sort of regional or international variation in this potential job loss. I am looking at a recent story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that said 1 in 4 Wisconsin jobs are at high risk in the new age of robotic workers and hyper-automation. How do things look across the states or countries? Is there some variation?
Yes. The states that are most dependent on industries, on manufacturing, are going to be more hard hit than the states or countries that are highly dependent on most services or other industries. Why? Because the easiest thing a robot can do is a job that's mechanic, repetitive, predictable. And remember, robots work 24 hours a day. They don't take vacations. They don't ask for a raise. They don't unionize.
So is it partly a call for more vocational training, retraining at the technical colleges and so on?
It's many things. The first thing you need to do is to find out what's going to happen with your particular field of work. If you're a journalist, you have to reinvent yourself into either an investigative reporter, an opinion writer, a humor writer, many other things that a robot is not able to do as well as a human. But writing just a plain fact-based story, that's over. That's going to be done and is already being done by a computer. And the same with lawyers, with economists, with bankers, with teachers. Teaching is another example. If you're a teacher and you spend most of your time transmitting knowledge, telling kids who invented the printing press or in what year Columbus discovered America, you better start preparing for a change because that's going to be over pretty soon. It doesn't make absolutely any sense for teachers to be purveyors of knowledge when any child can go to Google and find out who discovered America in a much more fun way, you know, with music, with videos, with all kinds of visual effects. So teachers are not going to disappear. We're still going to have teachers. But they're going to do something completely different to what they're doing now. They're going to be mostly professionals who are going to be mentors, who are going to be helping kids discover their passion, who are going to teach kids to work in teams, who are going to convey ethical values, all these things that a human can still do better than a machine.
What jobs might be pretty much unaffected? Anything in particular stand out, or is everything going to change a bit?
Well, at the end of the book, I have a chapter entitled The 10 Jobs of the Future. Actually, there are 10 areas of the jobs of the future. Many of them are pretty wide. And the first one, of course, is anything related to health. Anything related to health services has a very bright future for the simple reason that people are living longer. The population is growing. And when you have people, you know, living 80, 90 years, even 100 years, as many are now living in Japan, you'll need more health services. And that goes from doctors and nurses to psychologists to nutritionists to Zumba instructors. And then I go down the list. There are many other professions that have a bright future. And unlike many of the technology gurus I interviewed in Silicon Valley, in Japan, in Israel, in Korea, and many other places I visited to write this book, I do think that there is a future for the humanities. I do think that there is a future for artists. I do think that there is a future for writers, for screenwriters, for designers, for everything related to the arts, for a very simple reason. People will have increasingly more free time. Many of us think that we are working like crazy, but in fact, we are working fewer hours than our ancestors when they were farmers and worked 18 hours a day. And we have increasingly more holidays, and we have a Saturday and a Sunday, which is something relatively new in the history of mankind. And we're spending much more time watching Netflix and TV series than we did in the past. And that requires, you know, actors, writers, musicians, all kinds of artistic skills.
So you offer a sort of a balanced view. Let me ask, though, about some of the human assistance robots don't work all that well, do they? Autonomous vehicles seem to have a way to go. Do we have too much confidence that these robots are really going to replace humans in some cases?
Robots are not ready yet to do many of the tasks that humans do. But I have zero question in my mind that they're going to do that very, very, very soon, and that all these things we're reading about are going to happen much sooner than most people think. You talked about cars, about self-driven cars. Well, I've ridden in several of them, and I already see them on the road as test vehicles, of course. But I have no doubt that we'll see them in a matter of 2-3 years. Look, things are happening all the time, but we have become sort of numb. Our capacity of surprise has sort of disappeared. If you think that only 12 years ago we didn't have smart cell phones, it seems unbelievable that only 12 years ago we would drive without a GPS in our cell phone, or we wouldn't have all the apps we use today. That's all very new. And what is 10, 12 years in the history of mankind? Nothing. So these things are happening already much faster than many of us realize. And I have no doubt. Look, I'm currently working on a story about a flying car. Several companies, including Uber, are testing flying cars, and some of them are hoping to have them on the air. So I don't know whether it's going to be next year. It may be, you know, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. But it's not going to be 30 years from now. These things are happening. And we have to prepare ourselves because most of us are going to be affected. I don't think everybody's going to lose their job. I don't think many people are going to lose their jobs. But many of us are going to lose parts of our jobs, and we have to start preparing ourselves to reinvent ourselves.
What about if technology invents new processes that actually need more workers? I mean, 125 years ago, who knew we'd need thousands of auto workers, for example?
I'm not painting an apocalyptic scenario here. My book does not sort of propose, you know, that we sink into a deep depression or anything like that. No. In the long term, technology always creates more jobs than it eliminates. It has always been like that, and I think it's going to continue being like that. But what I'm worried about, and what many of the people, of the gurus I interviewed, are worried about, is the short term. Because the times to reinvent ourselves are getting increasingly shorter. In the Stone Ages, we had thousands of years to reinvent ourselves from hunters to farmers. And then we had another couple of thousands of years to reinvent ourselves from farmers into industrial workers. And then a couple of decades to reinvent ourselves again from industrial workers into service workers, professionals. But today, the pace of automation is so fast that many people won't have, you know, centuries or years or perhaps even months to reinvent themselves. Take somebody who's working at a cashier, as a cashier at a parking lot. That person is being told that she's going to be replaced by an automatic cashier overnight. That person is going to have a hard time reinventing herself or himself into a data analyst in 24 hours. So in the short term, we're going to have a huge problem. And I say in the book that this is going to be the biggest problem of the 21st century for all of us. And we have to prepare ourselves individually and as a nation.
Andreas Oppenheimer is the author of The Robots Are Coming, The Future of Change in the Age of Automation. He spoke with WUWM's innovation reporter, Chuck Kornbach.